Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Been talking about sowing and reaping, and how many of you have ever felt like somehow your harvest was just a little limited, or maybe a lot limited? How many have ever felt like you just didn't seem to get the results you thought you ought to? You sow and sow and sow, and it just doesn't seem like it has any impact at all. I remember when I was in Bible school, one of the teachers was teaching, and he was talking about sowing and reaping. He said he really kind of got a perspective on things when he studied out the sowing and reaping aspect of bamboo. Now, bamboo, when we look at it, we don't think too much about how it grows or anything like that. It's not native to us around here, so we don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. But he said, when you're going to sow bamboo, he said, you take it and you plant it and you nurture it and you water it. And at the end of the year, you get absolutely nothing. He said, the second year, you come back, you stir up the ground, you feed it, you water it, you encourage it. And at the end of the second year, you get absolutely nothing. So you come back the third year and you know where it is because you've been working it for 2 years now, and you stir it and you feed it and you encourage it. And at the end of 3 years, do you know what you get? Absolutely nothing. So it's the fourth year you come back and you stir it up, and you feed it, you water it, and it sprouts. And it grows at the rate of 10 feet. 10 feet a month. That's fruitful. But if you were like my son Ben and dug it up back there in year one, you know what you'd have? Absolutely nothing. Sometimes when we're sowing and reaping, we've got to be patient and wait for the fruit to come. And sometimes it's good to ask ourselves, what's limiting my harvest? And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you one key this morning that I promise you, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what your background. We know that God sows the seed the same for everybody. Everybody receives the same portion of faith. Amen? Amen? But not everybody produces the same results. Unbelievers don't produce any results at all. And there are people who have been in church and been in church and been in church. As a matter of fact, yet you would think they were born in church. They've been in church so much. And yet they seem like they've never grown beyond birth. And that's sad. It shouldn't be that way. We should be producing results. It's the fruitful that get the reward. Mark chapter 4, verse 8 says, "But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold." Everybody say, good ground. Poke the person next to you and tell them, now, this is for you. Pay attention. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, I want you to pay close attention because all three of those come from good ground. Amen? The good ground is the ground that receives and does the word that it receives. The seed that goes forth is the word. And how does the word go forth? Well, it goes forth by somebody preaching it. And how many of us are called to go and preach the word?
All of us.
All of us? All of us? Even the quiet people?
Yep.
Evelyn? Preach. Amen?
Amen.
When we're thinking about this, we have to remember, preaching is not about being in the pulpit. Preaching is about being willing to speak up and share when there's something to be shared. How many of you here have ever been in any way impacted by the presence of God? Stick your hand up in the air. Let me see it. Okay? So you've got something to talk about.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
How many of you here have ever been healed? Okay? Set free.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. So when you meet somebody who has a need in some way, you have the ability to share something with them. It doesn't have to be, you break out your notes and you start preaching. Now, as a matter of fact, that probably will turn them off. Best thing you can do is snuggle up beside them, put an arm around their shoulder, and encourage them. The best thing you can do is come along and let them know, hey, I've been where you're at. And I've got an answer that actually worked for me. Let me tell you about it. And if they say, go away and leave me alone, then go away and leave them alone. But give them the opportunity. Because it's amazing how many people will say, oh man, I need to hear about something that's going to give me hope. I need to hear about something. I remember my dad, 1968, he had suffered through 2 years of my mom being saved. And I say suffered because it put pressure on him. My mom didn't preach. Not like getting in his face or anything like that. She didn't get on her soapbox. She didn't push him around. My mom was just willing to love him and to live the life in front of him for 2 solid years. And he got at the end of that 2 years, and he couldn't argue with the fact that Jesus impacts a life, that Jesus changes a person's life. And so at the end of 2 years, he got on his face before God and he said, okay, if you're real, you're going to have to prove it to me. How many of you know God's up to that challenge? And God proved it to him in a real way. I mean, a very real way. And the end result was my dad got saved. Now, understand something. My dad had 13 years of perfect attendance pins for the Baptist Church. He had heard the gospel. He had heard the gospel over and over again. He had heard more altar calls than most of us ever want to hear. But it never impacted him. And the reason it never impacted him was you could tell from the stories that he told about church. Church was where you went to show off your new clothes, where you went to go to show off your new shoes. It's where you went to be somebody in the community. Little country town in the middle of nowhere, and church was the place where you went to show off. So the end result was, who was glorified? The show-offs. Not God. And because God wasn't glorified, God's presence had no impact on the people. My Aunt Daisy went to the same church that my dad did until she was a teenager. And when she got to be a teenager, there was a little Assembly of God plant started right down the road. And she would sneak out in the afternoon and go down to the Assembly of God church that was starting up. And next thing you know, she not only was saved, she was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and she became one of them. You know who they are, right? Those people, those holy rollers. Everybody thought Aunt Daisy was a fanatic. The thing is, fanatics have this funny way of impacting the people around them. Because her life changed. She wasn't like everybody else. And she would be asked, well, what is the matter with you that you've got to be in church like that? Sneaking out to go to church. What kind of, I mean, teenagers sneaking out is not anything new, but sneaking out to go to church? But she got impacted by the presence of God. And then she went on to just live her life in a way that brought not only her whole family into the kingdom, that brought people that you never would have expected into the kingdom. We're to be demonstrating the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, demonstrating the kingdom of God is what this is all about. So when you meet somebody who needs prayer, what do? You pray for them right then, right there. Don't wait. There's nothing worse than somebody lying to you about praying for you. Well, I'll pray for you, and that's the last they ever thought of it. If you're going to pray for him then, that way you're not a liar. Amen. Amen. Think about it a minute. Because all of us have been guilty of that one time or another. 30, 60, and 100 fold. What makes the difference? How many of you had a garden this year? How many of you noticed that we had a little rain this year? Made a big difference. Several years ago, I remember it was pretty dry. Corn only got to be about 5 feet tall. This year it's what, about 10? I mean, it's a pretty healthy looking crop out there. But that year it was really sad. And I remember driving down through the countryside and looking at the corn and thinking, man, poor farmers. This year they're having it rough. I remember that the wheat that year got about knee deep and that was all. They still got a crop off of it, but it wasn't the same as a good year. The difference was the watering. That amount of water made such a dramatic difference. And because it did, there was not the same return off of the crop. 30, 60, and 100 fold. Could watering be the simple thing that makes the difference? Could be. Well, how do you water the seed? It's not as hard as you think. The natural often depicts the spiritual, and as we look at that harvest and we compare one year to another, the most successful years, the most fruitful years, are the years when the conditions are just right, when everything comes together just the way that it needs to in order to produce crop. Now, my wife planted zucchini this year, but God loves me. She has not gotten not one zucchini. That's a miracle. Not one zucchini this year. What's that? Every day walking past, looking at the plant looks wonderful. I mean, it's healthy, it's alive, it's vibrant. There's blossoms and rabbits. Just about the time the blossom gets to where it's going to do something, the rabbits come right along and take it. And I thank God. Now, the tomatoes, on the other hand, have been very fruitful and very productive, and I'm just tickled because I love tomatoes. The difference in the two isn't the ground. It's not the seed that was planted. It's the influence of other things around us. It's the thief coming in and stealing that's making the difference there. We can't let the thief steal from us. We've got to step up and do something about it. I've got a friend, and around his garden, he has 5 strands of electrical fence. And the groundhogs still get in. If you think that the devil doesn't have resources, then you haven't paid much attention to history. He's out to destroy everything that he can destroy. He's out to steal everything that he can steal. And it's up to us to stand in and make sure it doesn't happen. Jerry Rogers and I were over here when he was living over here in New Baltimore. And he said, "Do you eat groundhog?" And I said, "No, I think they're nasty." He said, "But I'm more than happy to kill them." And he said, "Me too, because they eat my peas." And he had a .22 rifle sitting just inside the door, and he would walk over and literally just kind of poke the rifle out the door and shoot the groundhogs that were eating his peas, only he wasn't very good at it, so they kept eating his peas, and he just got some practice. There are things that cause us not to produce as we ought to. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. 1 Corinthians 3. Verses 6 through 9. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he's revealing the fact that he's not responsible for the crop. God is. Verse 6 says, "I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field." Everybody look at the person next to you and say, "I'm just dirt." It's the truth. You are dirt. And if you're dirt and God's sowing the seed, who's the farmer? Okay. God is. God's the farmer. Who works the ground? Is it the dirt that works the ground, or is it the farmer that works the ground? Who is it that puts the effort in to change the ground from bad to good? The farmer. Who is it that sows the seed? Tills the seed? Fertilizes the seed? So there must not be anything for us to do then, right? Wrong. You have to take what's in you and add it to the seed so that the seed can produce. Amen? You have to yield to the farmer in order for the farmer to get the results that he desires. And as we look at that, we've got to be willing to yield to the hand of our farmer. Our shepherd is working on us to make us what we need to be. Well, how do you yield? Well, you get into His presence. Worship is the key to productivity. Worship in His presence is the watering place where we get what we need to produce what God has called us. And I'm going to tell you right now, 30, 60, and 100-fold are all a measure of how intimate we are with the Father. The more intimate we are, the more fruitful we are. How would you like to be the one who gets to be God's mouthpiece in the earth? I mean, when you speak, it's the Word of God coming forth. Maybe not Bible chapter and verse, but I mean, it's you're speaking with the same kind of authority that Jesus did. Amen?
Amen.
Are we supposed to do that?
Yes.
Sure. Jesus said, I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. Now, let me just... This might be a silly question, but how are you going to see somebody do something? You have to hang out with them, don't you? If I want to know what Wayne's up to, I got to go hang out with Wayne. Now, he can tell me over the phone, but it's not the same. He can give me an idea. Normally, the only time I ever see Wayne, he's behind the wheel of a truck and he's driving up the road. And all I know is he's on his way to something. But I know there's a whole lot more to Wayne's life than just that little passing on the road. There's hard work in there somewhere, and there's all kinds of responsibilities that he's taking care of. He's over there keeping Charlie awake and feeding the furnace and doing all kinds of things. Got about 500,000 dogs to feed. And cats. If you feed the dogs, the cats will take care of themselves. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 17 says, and it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Anybody who doesn't worship gets no rain. Ever feel like you're in a drought? There are days when I've been standing and thinking, I've been doing this for way too long to get no results. God, where are you? God, I need to hear from you. Nothing. The problem is not on God's side. Just so you know, God is not messing up. He is not derelict in His duty. He will do what He said He will do. Amen? And when there is no rain, what can we expect with regard to the harvest?
Very slim.
Diminished harvest. Diminished harvest. Now, there's in the natural, you can overwater. You can have too much rain. You can have so much rain that things rot. You don't have to worry about that in the kingdom of God. You can't get too wet in God's kingdom. As a matter of fact, the wetter you get, the better you are. And as you get into His presence and as He waters you, as you're in there in His presence and things are going on, there is blossoming that's going on the inside of you that will show where everybody can see it. There are things that are going on the inside of you. Come here, Ken. Do you know what you're getting yet?
No, we don't want to know.
Don't want to know?
No.
Getting a baby.
Oh, yeah.
So, how many of you know that Kim's got a baby?
There, I take care of him every day.
That's the other
one. This is another one.
Now, tell me about this baby.
It's getting big too fast.
You already know that doesn't last long.
I hope not.
Can you tell me what color the baby's eyes are?
No.
No? Has it got lots of hair or a little bit? No? Perfect toes, perfect fingers? Don't know?
We saw some wiggling.
But she's got a baby, right?
Amen.
Can you see it?
Just a
Doesn't change it, though, does it?
No.
And our harvest sometimes going on the inside of us is growing. It's developing. It's becoming what God is calling it to be. But until it comes forth, we don't see it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The day's going to come where she's going to pop. She will, for the month before that, be going, oh, any time now is fine. My daughter, about, 8 months pregnant, said, take this thing out of me. I'm tired of being pregnant. And it doesn't work that way, does it? The harvest comes when the harvest is due. But if there's no rain, if you don't feed the seed, there won't be any results. Kim, do you feed the seed?
Yeah.
Do you feed it strange stuff?
No.
No, just weird hours?
No.
No?
Weird hours, I control that.
But you got to feed. When we get into the presence of God, He waters us. When we get into the presence of God and He waters us, the harvest increases. We go from being 30-fold Christians to being 60-fold Christians. From being 60-fold Christians to being 100-fold Christians. And this isn't something where once you get to 100-fold, man, you got it made. No, because if you don't keep it up, then you're going to go back to being a 30-fold. Every day, year after year, we have to continue to be faithful to do what God says to do. So let me ask you, how much time do you spend in worship every day? See, we sometimes get confused that this is worship. But it's not. This is church. We're doing church. We're doing it well, amen? And we're doing it because this is who we are. And we're doing it because we love God. And we want to do it together because we love God together. But the fact of the matter is, this relationship is personal. One-on-one. There can't be another way. It's got to be us and God. And so therefore, this is only going to be as good as our personal time with Him. And if we're not spending personal time with Him, we're living in a drought. It may be self-inflicted, but it's a drought. We need to get into His presence. We need to learn to love Him as we're driving the car, as we're working at our job, as we're doing other things. We can be worshipers 24/7. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, speaking to the Samaritan woman, he said that the Father is looking for those, earnestly seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, they're going to worship Him in genuine spiritual experience and in agreement with the Word. The Word tells us how to worship. How many of you know that there's absolutely no room for idols in worshiping God? And your CD player can be an idol. There are a lot of people who worship worship. They love worship. They love worship songs. They love worship sessions. But the reality of worship is something that is escaping them, because I can worship anywhere, anytime. I can worship while I'm out walking in a field, smacking a golf ball. I can worship while I'm sitting waiting for somebody for whatever appointment. I can worship as I'm driving down the road. And there are times when I really need that. I can worship when everything around me looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket. I can sit in a hospital room when it seems like we're not winning and worship. Because God, just as we sang this morning, is still our victory. No matter what it looks like, He is still our victory. He's already won.
Amen.
Well, but sometimes I just don't feel like it. Well, so? How many of you got rained on yesterday? Did you choose it? How many of you, in spite of the rain, went outside? So you did choose it. and you got wet. And if you needed to get wet, you could have just gone outside and got wet. Amen? So have you seen the commercial that they got the little boy and he's sitting outside in a chair and he's waiting for the rain to come so he can wash the family car? Because he wants to be energy conservation minded. So he's going to wash the car in the rain. I always figured that's what caused the rain, was you wash the car and then it rains. If we're going to be what God calls us to be, we've got to be intentional about getting in the water. We've got to be intentional about coming into worship. We've got to do what He calls us to do, and then do it with abandon. You want to be a hundredfold return Christian, you have to worship with abandon. How many of you have seen a little bit about the life of David? David was a worshiper. David was a man, the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. David was an absolute idiot when it came to worship. I mean, he didn't care who was watching. He didn't care what the pressure of the circumstances was. He would just worship with abandon. And the Bible talks about him jumping and spinning around, and his wife got mad because they could see his BBDs. I mean, it was embarrassing. How many of you here have gotten to that point where your worship's embarrassing the people around you? Oh, man. We need to be willing to go deep. The deeper we go, the more fruitful we'll become. Say, so, well, you're saying I got to jump around and act like an idiot? No, that's not what I'm saying. But on the inside, it needs to be going on. See, I'm with Larry Lee. I learned the Baptist approach to dancing. Want to see it? For those of you who can't see, trust me, I'm dancing. Right, Larry? It's important for us to understand that it's not what goes on the outside that matters. It's what goes on the inside. Real fruit comes from the inside out. Will I get results? Yes, I'll get results. I'm going to stay watered because I know how to worship. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25 talks about church. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says that this is part of the key to us staying hooked up. This is part of the key to staying watered. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to provoke one another to love and good works." Everybody say poke. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." We need each other. We need to come together and provoke each other, to poke each other, and say, you need to be walking in love. You need to be loving God more than you love anything else, including Cheerios. Oreos. So why do you pick on her? Because she's sitting up here eating in front of me. So we need each other. How many of you got a hug this morning? How many of you came in needing a hug this morning? We need each other.
Amen.
We need to be stirring each other to love and good works. We need to be encouraging each other to be out there at the Walmart Revival Center getting it done. Amen?
Amen.
Because real people in real places need real Christians to make an impact. We need to be the ones who are making a difference. They don't care if you can quote chapter and verse out there, but they do care whether or not when you lay hands on them they get healed. If somebody needs healing, they don't want to hear a sermon on healing. They want a demonstration of healing. Amen? If somebody's hurting, they don't need you to tell them about 15 steps to get better conditions. They need somebody to come alongside them, love on them, and remind them that they're not alone. They have hope. Amen? We're all going through stuff. That's life. You can't help but go through stuff. And some of the stuff that we go through isn't any fun. Amen? But we hold fast to the confession of our faith. We hold fast to the things that have made this life worth living. We say the same thing that the Word says. We declare and decree what the Word says. We celebrate and praise God because His Word is the truth and it never fails. Romans 10:8, we know what it says. It says, the word of faith is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. It's the word of faith that we preach. How do we preach it? We preach it by the things that we share. We preach it by the demonstration of the Christian life that we walk in. Are you agreeing with what faith says? Are you walking out what faith says? Are you declaring and decreeing the edicts of faith? I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about class reunions, and I said, well, I quit going to mine. And they said, well, why? And I said, because there's too many old people there. Last class reunion I went to, I went in, I sat down at the table, they started talking about their doctor's appointments, what medications they were on, and I went, holy smokes, you guys are old. Well, don't you have any issues? And I said, well, not really. I don't take any medicine. I don't go to doctor's appointments. Matter of fact, I was thinking the other day, I need to make a dentist appointment. And I wonder if my dentist is still in business. When I went and signed up at the doctor's office for my primary care physician, I remember walking in and saying, now, George, I want you to understand something. Every doctor I've ever had is either dead or retired. How long do you want to do this? And I said, the secret is, I'm not coming to see you. Because the ones I have to go see, they disappear. And I haven't seen him in, 3 years. Well, you should be going for checkups. That's what he says, but I don't pay any attention to him either. So I'm healthy. I'm in good health. You know why I'm in good health? Because I know what the Word says. And I say what the Word says. If something starts to come against me, I come against it with the Word. I go to war. And I fight for my health. And it's such a good thing that I am at least 10 years younger than everybody else my age. Amen. And I can stay healthy by staying in the Word and in the presence of God. Well, you know, that's a nice dream. You just got good genes. No, I got lousy genes, just so you know. My genes are filled with the potential for sickness and disease. Diabetes runs in my family at high speed. But I don't have it. I don't have it because I know that I've changed bloodlines. The Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Why in the world should I take delivery for something that doesn't belong to me? I'm not signing for somebody else's junk. Amen? And because of it, I'm healthier than the other people my age that I grew up with and ran with. I was talking to one fellow the other day, and he was talking about having hip replacement surgery, and I said, holy smokes, when did you get old? He said, well, you know, when you live hard, and I said, what? Live hard? I know you. You haven't lived hard. Said, you need to get saved. And he said, oh, here we go again. And it's been like this since high school, so it's not. And I said, you need what we have to offer. He said, well, I got to admit, you are better off than I am. And I am. This word works. Do we walk in it? Do we celebrate it? Do we lift it up? Do we let people see it by the life that we live? Psalm 63, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 7. says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary, by saying church, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Everybody say, in worship. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with my joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I will meditate on you in the night watches. Everybody say, at home. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Jeremiah said it a little differently. He says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. See, that's outside of the presence of God. That's somebody who's not living in the presence of God. But listen to this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, which will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and he will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will he ever cease from bearing fruit. Hallelujah. Let's get into the presence of God. Where is your heart today? Are you following after God with all of your heart? Are you a worshiper who worships the Father in spirit and in truth? Are you being watered by the presence of God so that you can produce the fruit that God calls you to produce? Nobody else can make the decision that puts you in that place. Only you can. Only you can yield to the Father's hand. Only you can let His presence water the word that gets on the inside of you. So the question is, are you yielding fruits? If not, you need to get into His presence more. You need to get deeper into the things of God. And I'm not talking about going and being some Bible scholar. Nobody wants to be impressed by how much you don't know. Or how much you think you know. They want to be impressed by a life that reflects the glory of God. They want to watch you in those times of trial and see if you go through with peace. They want to watch you in the times of tribulation and see if you come out with prosperity. They want to see your life. See whether or not you live up to the hype. See whether or not you are what you claim to be. In the midst of it all, will you be the beacon of light? Will you be salt and light to the world around you? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Yes. He will not fear when the heat comes, but his leaf will be green, even in the year of drought. Psalm 37 says, in the midst of famine, the righteous, those in right standing, those who are in proper alignment with God, have plenty. They're fruitful. Where are you today? Nobody else can measure where you are. Only you can measure. Where are you today? Are you in that place where you're being watered and fed and flourishing? Or are you in a place of drought? Will you make a decision with me today that says, I'm going to go after God with all of my heart. I'm going to be everything He's called me to be. I'm going to be a real believer. If that's you, I want you to stand up right where you're at. Stand up. Everybody will see me. Yeah, that's the whole point. We're standing up making a statement, making a declaration. As worshipers, we are making a commitment not just to receive the word, but to let that word work in us, transform us, and cause us to be the demonstration of God's love in the earth. The demonstration of God's power in the earth. The demonstration of God's faithfulness in the earth. The question is, will we walk it out? Amen? Today, by standing, you're saying, I will choose to be in His presence and to receive all that He has for me. So just pray this out loud together with me. Father God,
Your Word
comes forth to me. And here I am.
I desire to be good ground.
Do the work that makes me good ground.
I desire to produce fruit.
But in order to do that,
you've got to water me.
So water me, Father.
Make me fruitful.
Cause me to be
all that You've called me to be.
That I may, in faithfulness,
in power,
and in demonstration,
go forth
and demonstrate Your kingdom
in all the world.
In Jesus' name. Amen.